Good morning. Keaton, did you leave your coffee cup up here? Well, thank y'all for the coffee cup. No, I'm joking. Guys, it is so good to be with y'all this morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you, choir, praise team, Christy, Melissa, all of y'all for the work that y'all have done in leading us in worship. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. I don't know about y'all, but my week is jam-packed. I was writing down a couple of things that I've got to take care of this week, and my list went like family, football, food, football, feeding, football, foraying or flying, and football. I mean, there's a lot of things that all of us have going on this week. And, you know, a lot of times in the chaos of all the busyness of the holidays, sometimes we forget what they're all about. Yesterday when our men's ministry, I challenged them to do the same thing, to actually be present during the holidays, because there's so much going on, it is easy for us to check out. But I want to ask you something. Are you truly thankful? It's easy for us to say, yes, we are thankful. But Thanksgiving is more than just a holiday. It's more than just an attitude. It is a posture. It is a posture of your heart, and it is a posture of your life. When you are truly thankful, there are signs of that, with gratitude towards the individuals, but not only that, with a reciprocation of the gifts or the whatever you're grateful for being done to the other individual. I want you to ask yourself this question this morning. What am I truly thankful for right now? Right now. What are you truly thankful for? Maybe it is God's provision. Maybe it is your salvation. Maybe it is how he's blessed you through this year. Maybe it is the fact that he allowed you to have this day. Regardless of what it is, I want us to practice Thanksgiving. And we're going to do it right now. We're going to do it as a church. We're going to go to our Lord and Savior in prayer. And I don't want you to listen to me, okay? Prayers aren't to be listened to. Prayers are to be given up to the Lord. And I want you to take this moment in this service to really give some homage to God for everything that you're thankful for in your life now. Are y'all ready? Some of y'all look like you need to wake up. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you for you. The fact, Lord, that you chose with the sovereignty, with the wisdom, with the graciousness and compassion, with everything that is you, to create us and to allow us to be a part of your family absolutely humbles me. At the same time, Lord, I'm thankful for the provision that you've not only given me as an individual, but also the provision that you've given this church. Over the years, Lord, I've been amazed at what you've done in my life. And it's true. It's true. It can only be the work of your hand. But in the last year, a couple of years, Lord, I've been even more amazed what you've been doing through this church, how you've continued to provide for our needs and how you continue to allow us to provide for the needs of others. But not only that, how you've allowed us to be a part of getting the gospel out to the world. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of that. At the same time, Lord, I want to thank you for your salvation. It was the work of your Son on the cross, Lord, that has brought me to a right relationship with you. And without that, Lord, I would not even be able to come to you the way that I am now. So I'm thankful, Lord, for the salvation that has been given to me. But I'm also thankful, Lord, for the relationship that it has opened up with you, a relationship that I could have never done enough to have with you. But your Son, Jesus, did it for us. Not only that, Lord, I'm thankful for the efforts that we're going to be able to be a part of this week. And I know many people are going to be busy doing a lot of things. But I also know there's going to be a large number of people, Lord, who are going to be working to truly feed our community. Not just feed them with food, but also feed them with the gospel, Lord. And I pray for the hearts of the people that every one of these plates will go to this week, Lord. I pray that you would be conditioning those people's hearts to be receptive to the gospel. And Lord, I pray that Thursday would be a day of thanksgiving in a whole new way for many who may come to know you. Lord, I want to ask that you be with all those who are traveling. Whether it's our friends, whether it's our family, or whether it's even us later this week, I pray, Lord, that you would continue to give us the travel graces and mercies that you always do, that you have throughout this whole year. But I also want to ask that you be with the sick, Lord. There are many people in our congregation, Lord, who I miss so dearly, who are not able to be with us this morning. And I pray that you would continue to bring healing to their body, but also, Lord, comfort to their spirit and their soul. Father, I want to pray for those who've lost loved ones in the last couple of weeks. My mind's been overwhelmed with all of those who are experiencing Thanksgiving in a new way this year, even with my own family. And Lord, in times like this, it's hard to be thankful when our hearts are grieving loved ones that are not there anymore. But at the same time, Lord, I want to thank you for knowing of where my loved ones are. I want to thank you for the reassurance that your word gives us that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And while our hearts are grieving this Thanksgiving, their hearts are experiencing Thanksgiving in a whole new way. Help us, Lord, to hang on to that hope. But not only that, this morning, Lord, I pray that you would allow this word to speak to us. As we look into these things, Lord, that you have done for us, I pray, God, that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart and mind to understand what it is that this word has for us this morning, but also, Lord, how we can live it out this week. Thank you again, Lord, for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. It's in your precious name I pray. Amen. So we're going to be picking up in Ephesians 5. Good news for y'all. After this week, you'll be getting a little break from us Ephesians. You won't have to hear from Ephesians until the beginning of the year. But when we get back in the beginning of the year, we're going to talk about a lot about the collisions with family, the collisions with our children, the collisions with our spouses, the collisions with our culture. We're going to be getting in deep. So you got a little bit of reprieve to get through the holidays with the hope and joy of Advent, but we will be digging into it after the beginning of the year. Today we're in Ephesians 5. We will be starting in verse 6, and I know some of you are thinking, we read through 6 last week. Yeah, but these two subjects are so tightly grained together that you can't read through one without reading through the other. So I want to ask you this question. Is there more than just our eternity to be thankful with when it comes to our salvation? You see, when we think about our salvation, a lot of times we just think about the end destination, correct? We think about the destination of us being present with Him in heaven, and we think that that is the goal of salvation. But we've been talking about it a lot in Ephesians. There are a lot of collisions that come about in our life. And one of the collisions that we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about the drastic contrast of the old you and the new you. And in Ephesians 5, Paul says it like this, starting in verse 6. Listen closely to what he says. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God have come upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness. Pay close attention to what he said there. You were formerly darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed to the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason, it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time. Because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for this is dissipation. Sorry. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns. And in spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Christ to our God, even the Father. And listen to this one, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. When Paul is writing this to the Ephesians, he wants them to understand that there is a drastic difference between a person once they come to know Christ and before. But what bothers me the most is when I know I am a believer in Christ. I know that my sin has been paid for on the cross. I know that because of that propitiation for my sin, that I will be present with the Lord one day. But I struggle with a constant draw back to darkness. Do you? Amen. Don't you? I struggle with a constant draw back to darkness. So why do you think that is? Well, in some description that he gives here, we need to understand what exactly he is really saying. Most of the time when you hear the word dark or darkness, it is used to describe something. A dark night. A dark color car. A person with a dark complexion. Dark colored hair. It is always used, most of the time, as a descriptiveness. But what you got to understand about the word that he's using here for darkness is not something describing. It's actually telling exactly what you are. You see, the word darkness here in verse 8 is not an adjective. It's a noun. Listen again what he says. You were darkness. Not that your life was dark. Not that you were going down a dark path. Not that you had darkened thoughts or darkened heart. You were darkness. Ooh. That's something hard to wrestle with. Because, you know, deep down inside of me, I don't think that I'm a dark person. I don't think that I've ever been a dark person. When I look at other people in comparison to my life, then I can say, yes, yes, absolutely, they are dark people. But me, I haven't done that. I haven't done that. I'm not as dark as they are. And we got to be careful with that, because what Paul is saying here is not something that's describing us. It's something that's telling us who we are. We were darkness. So what does this mean? We were people of no origin. We had no idea. When we were dark, before Christ came and illuminated our life, we had no idea where we had really come from. And I know a lot of people say, well, I had an idea that I had been created by a higher being. But still, at the same time, you really had no understanding of where you come from. Not only were you darkened to your origin, you were also darkened to your existence, of why you are here. That is one of the biggest questions that we all try to find out. So when we were dark, we were people not only with no origin, we are also people with no purpose. We just lived our life every day as we wanted to. But not only did we do this, we were also people with no direction. You see, darkened people have no direction in which they are going. When you're in an absolute dark room, you cannot tell which way is behind, what's behind you, what's in front of you. You have no idea to what direction you are going. Without the sun, without the moon, without all these things, we would have no idea to where north, south, east, west are. It is important that we have these because when we were in darkness, we had no direction. But now, when we are, since we are light, we do have a direction. For those who are truly, actively believers, wrestle with this. You were darkness. Do you know what that means? That means that you weren't just part of what's wrong with this world. You were what's wrong with this world. Think about that for a minute. You weren't just part of what's wrong. You were actually what is wrong with it. And that is a big statement for us to wrestle with. Because, you know, whenever we do something wrong, what's the first thing we try to do? We try to blame something else. When God approaches Adam, after they had ate of the fruit, what is Adam's first response to God? It was the woman, passing blame to the woman, and then he does something even bolder, that you gave me. So not only does he blame the woman, he blames God too, because it wasn't just the woman, it was the woman that you specifically gave me, God. That is the problem. That is the problem. But that's the way we always do things. We try to justify our actions. We try to justify our behaviors. And we try to push blame off on something else. For those who don't believe, they are still darkness. And this is more than just, understand something, guys. This is more than just actions, thoughts, or motivations. This is even so much more than lifestyles, desires, or even politics. This goes deeper than all the things we apply it to. This goes to the individual. But do you understand something? This is something critical that a person comes to understanding of when they come to salvation. Because when a person comes to salvation, the first thing they have to do is they have to admit, I'm the problem. I'm the problem. I'm the problem. I'm the one who sinned. We can't blame the cheeseburger. I'm the one who messed up. I can't blame my car. I'm the one who did the stupid things. I can't blame alcohol, drugs, or any of these things. Amen. You see, when we come to know that we are truly darkness, we really have to stop blaming everything else. And we have to take the blame that is us. We were the problem. And you know what? It's important for us to remember that. Because even today, when we see the mess that the world is in, we don't like to blame ourselves, do we? But we're part of it. And I don't think we really understand that. I really don't. I love how we got a lot of people, boomers, who like to talk about kids and their cell phones, Do you know who created the smartphone? Boomers. Ooh. So when you see a kid on their smartphone and you think, they're just messing with that, always distracted, understand something. Your generation created that. We don't think about that though, do we? No. We like to pass the blame to somebody else. Not only were we part of the problem, to an extent, there's still some ownership of the problems that we have to accept ourselves. Even the church. Even the church. I find it funny when we come to an understanding that we were formerly darkness and now that we are light, we like to perceive ourselves as perfect. I don't know about you, but I am far from perfect. I am so far from perfect that I can't even begin to understand what true perfection is. I love it when people try to give us an illustration of what heaven's going to be like. Do you know what heaven's going to be like? Heaven's going to be perfection. It's going to be like nothing we have ever seen. It's going to be a place where we're in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's going to be a place to where we're not going to have any pain. We're not going to have any tears. We're not going to have any sorrow. We're not going to have any heartache. We're not going to have any weed eaters because it says there's no pain and suffering. We're not going to have so many things in heaven that affect us and ill us today, and we can't even grasp that. But we like to think we're perfect because we're light. But do you know what light really does? Light exposes how imperfect we are. Listen to what he says right here. Let's start in verse 10. Actually, now let's back up to 8. Now if I can find 8. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light, and light in the Lord. Walk as children in the light. For the fruit of darkness consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to God. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful for even to talk of the things which are done in secret. But all the things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. Think about this for a minute. How many of y'all got skeletons in your closet? How many of y'all don't like to talk about those skeletons in your closet? Why don't you like to talk about those skeletons in your closet? Who does? Well, let's be real to why we don't like to talk about those. We don't like to talk about those because of shame. Shame. We're shameful for what we did in our former life. We're shameful for what we did when we were younger. We're shameful for all these things that we have done in our life. But the truth of the matter is, shame is attached to another sin that we really don't time together a lot. Shame is hinged to pride. We're shameful about who we used to be, and we're prideful enough to not want anybody to know it. Think about that for a minute. We're prideful that we don't want people to know who we formerly were. Transparency is a big thing to me. And I've sat down with many of you, had conversations with y'all, and I've been warned by some of y'all not to be so transparent in your life. And I am. I'm transparent about everything. I'll tell y'all about anything that's going on in my house. I'll tell y'all about anything that I've experienced. I'll tell y'all about anything that I've dealt with, any struggles that I had. And a lot of people say, but you need to guard yourself against that because people might get the wrong impression. Brothers and sisters, I was dark. And so are you. And you know what this world hates more than anything? Is fake Christians who think that they've been perfect all their life. Transparency is allowing light to reveal who you used to be. And transparency is also exclaiming how good God is to you, because not only did he take you from being dark, he placed you in his light and he revealed it all. It's funny. We let our shame build up so much pride in us that we think we can hide our sins from God himself. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about bragging. I'm not talking about boasting about the person you used to be. But we have to own who we used to be. For us to really understand who we are now and how to have thankfulness for who we are now, we have to own it. We were dark. Are you thankful for what God has done for you in just this one statement? In this one statement about him bringing you from dark to light, are you truly thankful for that? Because he goes on to tell us something that we have to wrestle with a little bit more. In verse 15, listen to what he says. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. I had a hard reality check this morning, and this is going completely off script, guys. I had a very hard reality check this morning, right after Sunday school. Somebody come up to me and asked me if I'd heard about one of my friends, pastor friend of mine. Pastor friend that I love, that I used to hang out with a lot. He used to work at the funeral home some, and we used to joke around at the funeral home all the time. He had some of the best funeral jokes I've ever heard before in my life. Somebody come up to me and asked me, did you hear that Jack Cochran died? And I was just like, no. He's younger than me. He's younger than I am. He didn't die. Shortly after that, another individual comes up to me and says, hey, did you know that Jack Cochran passed away last night? And just like, still wrestling with that. No. There is no way. He is younger than me. Even after that, another person. Did you hear about Jack Cochran last night? You know, we don't realize how short our time is. This is a man that I've served with, worked with, loved on, poked and prodded a lot. And I'm still trying to wrestle with the fact that two weeks ago, I was sitting there talking to him, joking around about Charles Long and about how goofy he is. We love Charles Long, but still. And now he's gone. And you know the first thing that came to my mind? I wish I'd have told him this. I wish I'd have told Jack how much I loved him. I wish I'd told Jack how thankful I was to get to serve beside him. I wish I'd told Jack how great of a pastor I thought he was. I wish I'd told Jack of how proud of him I was for him being the father to his little girl that he is. I wish I'd have sat down and prayed with Jack more. I wish I'd have told Jack that, you know, part of my ministry is because of him and I'm thankful for that. And you know what? Here's where I'm wrestling. I can't do it now. I can't do it now. You know all those things that you wanted to do when you were darkness? Now you're light. Now's the time to do them. Now's the time to encourage each other. Now's the time to love each other. Now's the time to be thankful for each other. Now's the time to spend time with each other. Now's the time to do it. Because guess what? Tomorrow's going to come and you're not going to have that opportunity. Just as quick as this morning dawned, my life now looks different. And I have a lot of regrets. But at the same time, I want you to understand why I'm thankful. I'm thankful because there were those opportunities that I had to tell him how much I loved him. I'm thankful because I had those opportunities to serve with him. I'm thankful because I had those opportunities to make funeral home jokes with him. I'm thankful because I had that opportunity to see him and his family worship the Lord together. I'm thankful that because he is gone from this earth, I know he is waiting on me. I'm thankful because while Jack Cochran was once dark, one day God called him out of that life and he gave him a new life, a life of light. And you know what he tells us to do? That when we become those people, listen to how he finishes this up, because it's kind of foolish. It's kind of weird. It doesn't make sense to us. He says this. He says, and be subject to one another in the fear of God. Why in the world, after talking about going from darkness to light, after talking about your time is short, why would he draw that in there? To be subject to each other. Well, Philippians 2 verse 8 tells us why. Being found in the appearance of man, talking about Jesus, he humbled himself by becoming subject or obedient, even to the point of death, even death on the cross. You ever thought about that? The reason that we should be subject to each other is because Jesus made himself subject to us first. Think about that for a minute. It wasn't his death that he needed to die. He had never sinned. He had never done anything wrong. All he had ever done is worshiped his Father. Yet his body was broken. And it was broken for me and you. He needed no atonement made for his sin. Yet his blood was spilled for each one of us. And you know, sometimes I get frustrated because we don't understand that. But then I read what Jesus said to his disciples, and I remember this. They didn't understand it either. Matthew 26, verse 26 says, while they were eating, Jesus took some bread. And after blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body. This is what I'm doing for you." And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he gave it to them and he said, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is the blood of my covenant, which is to be poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin." Think about that. Jesus told them exactly what was about to happen. And in just a few hours, every single one of them run in fear. He said, "But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it new." But listen to who he says he's going to drink it with. "Until I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When we take this communion, as Corinthians says, we're doing this in remembrance of him, his broken body, his shed blood. But not only that, we're also doing this in preparation. Just as he did this with his disciples, there's going to be a day that we're going to do this with him again. And I promise you, I hope you have thanksgiving in your heart for what he did for you as you take this communion. But I want to promise you this. You're going to have thanksgiving in your heart in a whole new way when you do it with him. So a couple of things before we get into this portion of our worship. I want you to understand something. Paul tells us in Corinthians that this should not be taken in an unworthy manner. And that means three things, the way he's talking about that. First, what he's saying is, this is something for believers only. Mama, daddy, listen to me. I know it's cute to have your kid come up here with you to take communion. But if your child has never professed Jesus as Lord and Savior, don't let them partake of this. This is symbolic of the death of the body and the blood of Christ. There's coming a day when they will be able to take it. My boys haven't even taken it. Take this serious. This just isn't something cute we do. This is remembrance of him. But not only does he tell us that, he tells us that we should examine ourselves. Because if we do not examine ourselves in a right way, we can take this in an unholy manner. Do you know what it means to examine yourself? It means to expose things. Now, I ain't asking you to stand up and have a confession service right now, okay? Let's not do that. But you have the ability in the next few minutes to confess all those things that you think you've hid from God. He already knows them. It's just like a mom and dad. You remember when you get in trouble at school and somehow mom and dad knew about it before you got home? God's got that ability. He knows about it before you get home. Confess it to him. Lay it before him. And not only that, another way to take this is in an unholy manner is if you've never truly received him. This isn't a cute ceremony. This is something that we need to examine ourselves. And some of you need to examine this. Am I darkness? Or am I light? You know, there's a drastic difference between darkness and light. Darkness, black, is the absence of all color. There's no light in it whatsoever. There's no life. There's no direction. There's no purpose. There's no origin. But Lot reveals all the vividness of life, of spirit, and of truth. If you are in darkness this morning, if you are darkness this morning, I want you to bow. I want everybody to bow your heads with me this morning. If you are in darkness this morning, here's all you've got to do. First, own it. God, I know I'm dark. I know I'm the problem between me and you. I know I'm the one who's made my own way, and I know I'm the one who separated myself from you. But God, you truly are rich in mercy and grace. And you are so rich in mercy and grace that you sent your son, who did absolutely nothing wrong, to take the punishment for my disobedience. And because that, my sin is now buried. But also because of that, because of your son's death, burial, and his resurrection, I can have a new life in you. Jesus, save me. I don't know, some of you are thinking, is it really that simple? Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. You see, because anything else puts our efforts into it. And when I make my salvation about my efforts, I nullify this broken body and this spilt blood. This morning, if you have never professed Jesus as Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you, let this be the morning of salvation. As Christy comes, this is your chance to respond. Whether you need to expose the things to God that He already knows about, or whether you need to cry out to salvation for Him. That's up to you. But I want you to take a few moments. Continue in this posture, head bowed, eyes closed, reflecting on what we're about to do. Examine yourself. Reveal yourself. And let's be thankful for what God has done. Hey guys, Pastor Scotty Gerard here, and I just wanted to say thank you for joining us today. We really hope that this has been a resource that's helped you grow in your purpose for God, but also grow in His glory. We also want to extend an invitation to you to join us here in person at Harmony Grove. We are located at 1008 Town Creek School Road in Blairsville, Georgia. We would love for you to come be a part of our service, to be a part of our small groups. If you have children, we have children's classes on Wednesday night and on Sunday morning, and all this information can be found on our website. We'd also like to continue help you in your growth with Christ. If you have a question, maybe a prayer request, or just need to talk to somebody, you can contact us in the emails below in the description, or you can also contact us through our app and through our website, which are also found in the description below. Again, we hope this has been a blessing to you, because we know that you joining us today has been a great blessing to us. Thank you so much. God bless.